we say in Arabic is like حافظ بس مش فاهم.
It means he
memorized but he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Uh-huh. So it's very wrong that like I don't believe in a place or in a place that's just you shove a religion into someone's face and then if he asks or like he's like doubting it, you tell him, what the fuck are you saying? No, don't say that. That's wrong. You're gonna go to hell. But that's very wrong. You know, this is what my mom built into me. You know, like ask, always ask. Don't just follow like a sheep. This is why for me, like I believe I'm a leader type of person, not a follower, because I stick to my morals. So in everything in life, I believe someone should ask. Yeah, they don't. They're very like I believe that they're afraid to ask. Or they don't want to, so that they don't feel like they're like doing their religion in a way.
Hello, Lukupi on Milo podcast. Ilyas in the house, drinking chai in Turkey. Kadikoy, how do you feel, man?
I feel amazing, man.
Şerefet, bro.
Cheers.
How does it feel like to be a human being?
It feels amazing, man. It feels amazing to be a human being. It feels amazing to be a human being in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically in Turkey.
Why are you here, bro?
So I'm here.
What brings you here in Turkey?
I've actually been here for as a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't actually planning to be here for like 2 months, but like my father offered, oh, you want to be here for 2 months? I was like, well, let's do it, you know? So yeah, so I've been here for the past 2 months now as a tourist and then going back to Canada. You know, that's kind of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
so the
and
story,
I love it.
The story that people don't know of is like the both of us, sort of met each other in Olympus.
Yes, yes,
and
exactly.
Now we are in Istanbul.
Yeah, Kadikoy.
Kadikoy, yeah. The more interesting part is you were in Malaysia.
Yes, I was born in Malaysia, actually. Yeah, oh, you don't know this?
No fucking way.
Okay, surprise, surprise.
Born?
Yeah, I was born in Malaysia. Wait, you don't know this?
I thought you were studying in Malaysia.
No, I did, but I was in a total of 12 years.
Why were you born in Malaysia?
Because my parents studied their PhDs there and masters, so, you know, they got married there. Actually, they were married in Syria, but then they went back to Malaysia. But yeah, I was there for 8 years, and then
first
8 years of my life was in Malaysia.
And you used to speak Malay, I'm guessing.
I used to speak fluent Malay, man. I used to speak I feel bad for saying this, but yeah, I feel like I used to speak very fluently. Then when I went to Saudi Arabia for 2 years, and then I went to Canada for 5. And then I went back to Saudi for 3. So that was like a whole 10 years of not me speaking any Malay. So then I kind of totally forgot the language except the word Sapanama, which means, what's your name? And I went back to Malaysia for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
which where I did my uni.
So and you were 8 plus 5 plus 2, 13, 15, you were 15, 16?
Sorry, yeah. 8 years, and then 2 years, and then 5 years, not four, sorry, 5 years. And then I was in Saudi for 3. So that's 18.
Okay.
Then I went to Malaysia when I was 18.
Right. The thing about you is, like, I don't know, your subconscious, as in your personality, doesn't fit in anywhere, I feel.
Yeah, like, man, I'm from everywhere.
The funny thing, It was just after me showering in Olympus,
uh-huh.
came out of the toilet,
yeah.
And then I remember that you were just like staring.
Yeah, you know? I was like
you were in line, but you yes. were staring. So I'm like, okay, whatever, just walk out, you know. And
yes,
then
yes.
the next day,
yes.
You're like abang, it doesn't fit your face, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't capture abang. I haven't heard that in like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And then the way you greet it is like abang. It's not
abang,
like
yeah,
apa
abang.
Kabar? You know, like apa kabar, bro?
Kabar baik.
You know?
Apa kabar, bang? Okay, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh damn, it's you. And then I recall them met you in the toilet.
Yeah.
So
yes, exactly. Because yeah, the first time when I saw you, actually when I saw you, when I was going to the shower and I saw, I'm like I wasn't. I guess I was staring, but then yeah, I was looking because I'm a very observant person. So I looked and I'm like, damn, this guy is. He looks either Indonesian or Malaysian or Brunei, not Bruneian, but
no. But If you really don't know me, I can pull off as Arab, Turkish. Pakistani, Indian. You know, I can be anything. No,
not Arab. I'll give you that.
Not Arab. Not Indian.
Arab, maybe like a very special Arab, but
Indian.
Indian, no. I don't think so. What
and you see me as Malay.
Yeah. I was like either Indonesian or Malaysian.
Damn.
Yeah.
That means you have the eye for it because you grew up there.
Yeah, I was there for a long time to get the eye for that, you know. Because a lot of my friends were also Malay, you know, Malay Indian, Malay Chinese too. But so it's like I was like, damn, he's either like the first guess I said, like I told you, was Indonesian. So it was either Indonesian or Malaysian. But yeah. Like so then I asked I don't know who I asked.
Tall guy.
Like, oh, there is like a the types of countries of volunteers that are from here. And then one of them said, oh yeah, there is also I think, I don't know if I told them that I was born in Malaysia, but then maybe I did. And then they told me like, oh yeah, there is a Malaysian volunteer. I'm like, oh shit, that has to be you. So then I came up to you and then I'm like, Abang, come on, Abang. Okay. And then then from there, we got really then we started talking a lot. Yeah, it was interesting, man.
Yeah. So how do you find Olympus, Fethiye, Izmir, Istanbul? What's the comparison? How do you compare all these cities?
So I'll compare in terms of like my favorite beach is the Oladunas one. Then comes Olympus. In terms of city wise, I love Istanbul much more.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like my favorite city right now.
Wow.
There is everything here. There is literally every single thing here, you know? Of course, other than like, if you just want to like, because I'm the type of guy that I would love to get on a ferry and just literally go to the other side or not know where I'm going, just so I can, you know, just stay in the ferry and like just go around the Bosphorus. Sometimes I like, and I just hope to find dolphins, you know, because I love animals.
You mean like Istanbul?
Yeah. Yes, Istanbul. Yeah, Izmir is nice. It's very like it's like a much chiller place than Istanbul, I think.
I guess to each their own, because it's interesting to hear that answer, because it's always different from one person to another.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think it's especially for Turkish, right?
Uh-huh.
Turkish youngsters.
Yeah.
To hear that answer that Istanbul is our favorite is actually rare.
Oh, you know? I think maybe because they're born here and raised here their whole life.
They're born in Turkey. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And they still find Istanbul, and including myself, I find Istanbul is too chaotic.
Oh yeah. I agree with that. Like, I think, for sure, like, in terms of chaos, it's very chaotic. You know, that's why I told you it's much chiller in Izmir.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's nice to be in a chaotic place, but not for so long. Like, I can see myself loving this place for like maybe a year or two, but then I would want to go back to being in the chill areas. You know, so. Yeah, till now it's my favorite because it has everything. But yeah, in terms of chaos, it's very chaotic. Yeah, like you can hold on to this place for so long, I guess, till you just want to go to a much chiller place.
So you've been to Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference you feel, both positive and negative, in comparison with Turkey and Malaysia?
Oh, okay. The government here, man, it takes care of you a lot much better. As a tourist. Like, okay,
takes care of the tourist, you mean?
Where?
You mean Turkey?
No, it doesn't scare them off. It's the
exact take care.
Oh, take care. Yeah, 100%, yeah. Oh, absolutely, man.
So, in a way, like, the reality is what you're saying, the Turkish government, from your perspective, a tourist.
Yeah.
You're taken,
as a tourist?
Yeah, you're taken care of.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Uh-huh. Like, because they even have tourism police here, so.
What does that mean? What is a tourism police?
You don't know about this? Yeah. Like a tourist police? So there is
For the tourists around?
Yeah, for the tourists. So there is like a tourism police, like, and friends of mine, like what they do is like, so when they go to a place and they're like really ripping them off, or like if they find out that they're getting ripped off, like they would just like threaten the people of the store or the owners. They're like, I'm gonna call the tourism police right now. And then like they're like, okay, I'm so sorry, blah blah blah, and they would give them back whatever it is that's theirs, you know.
I guess that's needed, because if not, everyone just get fucked over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why that's amazing. Even though they're like hustlers out here, man. Like the Turkish people are like hustlers. They really hustle.
Yeah,
they
wolves.
Love to hustle.
Yeah, wolves.
Yeah, man. They're hustlers out here, you know. But then, like, you can't blame them now because like the economy is going down a bit. But
A lot.
It's not, yeah, a lot. That's true, yeah. not a bit, a lot. But at the same time, it's like, it's not as bad as I thought it would be in terms of like the way they hustle. They're not gonna like, oh, like, it's nice to see that like they don't like totally like want to rip you off in terms of everything. Like sometimes in Malaysia, sometimes, not every time, and depends on the race, but like, some just like will take every single like lira or ringgit off you, you know. They're not gonna even like a few cents. They're like, no, mm-hmm. You gotta give it to me as it is. Right. Here, like sometimes like five off, like, you know, like they don't like care too much. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, they're hustling you, but they're hustling you in a way that's like, like you can like, okay, fine, sure, go ahead, man, try to hustle me, no problem.
Yeah,
you know, but. And also, like I was saying, like the political way, like here, the government is amazing, man. And in my opinion, like, sadly here, like the Turkish people, they hate the government. A lot of, like, not all of them, but like some of them, there's like a high percentage now that they hate the government so badly. Mm-hmm. And they complain so much. Like, it's like one of the things that I don't like, to be honest, because like they complain so much, like, oh, it's going to be a civil war, but it's never going to reach that way, man. I believe that it will never reach that stage. And like, when you compare the one from here to many other countries like Algeria, or like France, or Saudi Arabia, or Malaysia, it's uncomparable, man. Like, they're taking, like, the public transport here is amazing, the healthcare system is amazing, the prices are fine. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, the economy is going to shit, but they're going to still be taken care of in a way. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and the security is high here, man. It wasn't like, I heard like back then it was not as much, but now it's much better, you know? So, man, I'm not afraid for my life here in a way, you know? I'm not as much. Because like when I was coming here, like a lot of people told me like, oh, yeah, like careful at night. Don't go at night too much. Like hold your pockets when you're at night. Because they're going to like try to rob you or some shit. But then, you know, I came here. I've been here for what? A month and a half? Man, none of that is happening, you know? Mm. I don't feel... I go out at night many times. And it's nowhere near, you know? It's not bad at all, you know?
Yeah, it's actually...
It's very safe.
Turkey is actually pretty safe.
Yeah, it's very safe.
In comparison, especially in my opinion, in comparison to Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, for sure, yeah.
You know?
And maybe even Malaysia, to be honest. In some places,
Malaysia, yeah.
As a foreigner, not. I don't think as a Malay, you're not gonna feel afraid at all.
Yeah, I'm trying to think as a foreigner's perspective, right?
Yeah. Cause like.
But I think you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like I told you before, your uni was in Apit.
Apit, yeah.
You were in like a pretty dark area. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
That's true. Yeah, like Serdang.
If you were
Bukit Jalil, yeah.
If you were in. Sunway or Taylor's.
Of course, yeah, then you're chilling. You're
your
living
life
will
be
man.
Different. Yeah, so I remember one of the first conversation I asked you was, why did you went to Apit and not Taylor's or Sunway?
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, because in my opinion, it will shift your perspective 360.
That's true, yeah. No, I have a lot of friends from Sunway and Taylor's, actually, because they're stuck together anyways. Mm-hmm. So I would always go to the, what was that, Rock Cafe? I think it was called Rock Cafe.
No idea.
There's like a very famous cafe in Pyramid.
Okay.
Sunway Pyramid.
Right.
And it's like the most famous one there. It's like a huge cafe. There's so many different types of foods there. Mm-hmm. And like, it's amazing, man. It's one of my favorite spots to go to, you know? Like, I would live in Serdang and then I would go to Sunway a lot of times because of that place, you know, because of Rock Cafe. And
to be honest, like your face... Can you pull off as Malay? Seriously.
Well, I was born there, so.
So if you could just pull out the accent, you'd have a totally
different.
It's not it.
That's not it.
It's like this. Yes, sharper accent, like. Apa benda tu?
Apa benda?
Apa benda?
Okay lah.
Yeah.
Kenapa?
I know, like you've been traveling for a while. You have been to various different countries,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
various
far
different countries,
in
yeah.
throughout your human years.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite experience?
Ooh, that's a hard question, man. Because there is a great and a bad in every single one of them. There isn't like one favorite country, but in terms of like cultural wise, I think Malaysia, because like my friends are from everywhere there, man. Like the uni I was in, I had friends from all over. But also, people wise, I think Saudi Arabia. Actually,
Saudi Arabia, the country, or Saudi Arabia, the people.
The people, yeah. So very hospitable.
Saudi Arabians in Malaysia or Saudi Arabians in Saudi Arabia?
In Saudi Arabia. Ah, yeah. Okay, Saudi Arabians in Saudi Arabia. In terms of people, Saudi Arabia. But culture, Malaysia, because it's so diverse. Mm. Very diverse.
Because I'm not being defensive about Malaysia at all. Yeah. I'm just trying to pick your brain. Because it has been a while since I last had this conversation with a Malaysian-esque. Someone who experienced COVID in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Like, you're the first human being that I actually...
That I've met,
yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah, man. It was a shit show, you know?
I can almost admit that my soul is not Malay, bro.
Your soul is not Malay?
Yeah.
It's not, man. I'm going to be honest, it really isn't.
My identity is Malay. But honestly, I'm lost in the sauce. Like,
I feel you.
I am.
I can see that. Yeah.
I am free, bro. I am like without judgment. I don't cage myself.
Yeah.
And also, good. I'm very grateful the fact that I am what I am.
Yeah, that's perfect, man.
I am from Malaysia. Yes.
You're from Malaysia, but then you're not.
But it gives me a different perspective.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And you're not a basic Malay, as I call it. You're not the normal Malay you would see in the. Yeah. In Malaysia, you know, that's true. I agree.
Deep
with
inside
that.
Me, I have this fear of going back to Malaysia and not being able to fit in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do have this fear.
No. I think you'd fit in just fine.
No. Fit in as in. Fit in with the new norm.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
No, man. Like it's very different now. I think from 2 years back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's. I think if you go back. I think it'll be just fine, man. But yeah, it's you're not you don't ha- you do not I and I tell you this, you do not have the same mentality at all as the Malays. Not the Malaysians, as in you have a very different mentality from the Malays.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who doesn't know like the difference, so Malay and Malaysian is not the same thing. Yeah. So Malay is like a certain ethnicity from there, and then there's like four different types. Generally, four different types. So there is like the original Malay, mm-hmm. and then there is the Chinese Malaysians, and then they have the Indian Malaysians, and then lastly, as they call it, other. Their passports. But yeah, so yeah, so like, I believe Milo is nothing like a standard Malay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I don't know. Like we will see what happens when I'm back. The unknown, actually, because like element that I hate the most.
Mm-hmm.
In okay. human beings is fear.
Oh wow.
And okay. the Malaysians, yes. and Asians in general, fear are sort of embedded in us.
Okay, in what way?
We do not like push against the system.
I see.
We obey.
Really?
Or maybe we just type, you know, keyboard warrior. You know, these are the Asians.
True. Yeah, yeah, very.
It's more hoo-ha behind the scenes, but
yeah.
in front,
face to face.
You know, when someone shows you a gun, you just keep quiet.
Yeah.
That's what I like most about the Turkish, actually.
Mm.
They're very out.
Yes.
Spoken.
Oh, they don't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
That's very true, yeah.
And that's admirable true. Character, you know, that bravery, that courage.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite things also about this country
mm-hmm.
is because they're very much like in Algeria, where I'm originally from. Why I love this country is that the Algerian mentality, even my mom and my dad, like they know this because they've been here before. They're like, man, they're just like the Algerians, you know,
mm-hmm.
in terms of like very hot-blooded, because we're very hot-blooded in Algeria, you know, very like if you see us speaking to each other, you think we're fighting, but we're just talking normally, you know, because we're very aggressive, like the way we speak. But yeah, like the Turkish are very hot-blooded. They don't care. They're very...
Do you know how in Turkey...
They'll go to your face and just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how in Turkey, like, one person look different from one another?
Yeah, you can never guess, like, a Turkish.
Yeah.
That's true. Like, I cannot go to another country and guess, oh, this guy's Turkish. They all look different.
They could look... They have a blonde, blue eyes, and an orange, red head.
Exactly, man.
Pure black hair.
It's amazing. I believe it's amazing, man. They don't have, like, a look, you know? You can know a Malaysian or an Indonesian from a look, but you cannot guess a Turkish. You can guess an American, Actually, no, not really. Unless you hear them speak, then yeah. But you can guess like an Algerian. You can guess a Moroccan.
So Algerian has a look. Huh?
Yeah, 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 we have a look, man. Like we have a look, and then, well, if you're from Algeria, you can guess an Algerian.
Are you a typical Algerian? Do you have a typical Algerian face?
I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest, because I was born in Malaysia, you know. So I think the way I look is different from a typical Algerian. But then, actually, no. I was actually a lot of times I was guessed as Moroccan, which is kind of the same thing. Moroccan or like Egyptian. A lot of times I would get Egyptian. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think I'm Egyptian for some reason, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can guess an Egyptian. Mm. And you can guess so many countries from the way they look, but you cannot guess a Turkish.
How does it feel to be alive these days, man?
What is it?
Post 2020. How does it feel to be alive?
Oh, in Turkey it feels amazing.
Yeah, in Turkey?
Yeah,
in
Turkey.
General?
Man, now it's amazing for me, man.
So you only know Malaysia and Turkey, like post 2020?
Post 2020, Malaysia, Saudi, and Turkey. Because I was in Saudi just before here.
Okay.
So I was in Saudi Arabia for 7 months, see my family there, and also see my friends, you know. So there it's more strict
with
in terms
COVID.
Of the corona. Yeah, mm-hmm. With COVID, very strict actually. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you want to enter a place or enter any place, you know, you have to show like.
ID.
Like, not an ID. Like, there is an app you have to show. Like, in Malaysia, like, you just need to scan and enter. That's it. But in Saudi, it's like, you have to show this thing called Tawakkalna, but...
HES code.
Yeah, it's like kind of like the HES code, but then... No, a HES code, you scan it and you enter. But this thing you show, and it shows you... Like, the show is, like, green, which means, like, you don't have COVID, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so... Or red, that means you have COVID and you cannot leave, you know?
Crazy.
So it's very strict there, man. Very, very strict, you know. Like, if you enter the place and then you have, and the person is not using the app, the store itself, the store can, like, be fined 10,000 riyals, which is, like, 13,000 ringgit, kind of.
It's funny how you use ringgit.
Divide that.
2,600 liras.
Yeah. Crazy price, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, almost 20,800 liras, exactly, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of the thing. Yeah.
And you're close to your parents?
Oh, I'm very close to my mom,
more
than my dad. I love my dad, but yeah. I'm much closer to my mom, I believe, you know. Because my dad is very
aggressive.
My dad's very tough, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's very, very tough.
Bro, go ahead.
He was
drink,
raised.
Drink
he was
that
raised.
Tea. Go ahead and have a sip.
No,
I see you doing this.
No.
Three
attempts. I think this way,
bro.
What I'm thinking, yeah.
It hasn't reached your lips.
Like, no. I just think this way, you know. Like when I start thinking, I just touch things, you know. I'm very touchy in what I'm thinking. So yeah, but yeah, it's like I believe I'm much closer to my mom. That's what I would say.
What would be the greatest lesson that you've learned from your mom so far?
Ooh.
The one piece of advice.
Oh, this is what I live with. Never expect anything from anyone. Never have expectations on anything or anyone. So, like, in what way? What I mean is that in anything in life, don't expect so much. So when you expect, like, oh, you expect to... For example, I'll give it to you in the best example, is that when you're going up to a lady, for example, a girl, okay, that you like, this and that, have the worst expectations, in my opinion. I got rejected a lot, but that's fine. So if you're going to have high expectations of her saying yes, for example, like, oh, I really hope she's going to say yes, and then when you go up to her and then she's like, ew, no. You know, that was like the worst of the worst types of replies. And then, you know, because you had such high expectations, you will be so disappointed. I would approach it in a way where, like, I'm for sure she's 100% going to say totally no. But then, you know, the experience is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would go and then she was like, say, like, ah, no. I was like, ah, it's fine, no problem. You know, you're not going to be disappointed. And that happens with everything in life. When you want to apply in a job, expect it to say no. Don't expect them to say yes. You know, that's also what I learned from my dad, actually. You know, he was expecting 100% that he was not getting his job.
Wow.
Yeah, he was literally expecting 100% that he was not going to enter the OIC. But he expected 100% that he would be accepted in in Al Jazeera, and IBN, I think, like they're two huge companies. But then he got totally rejected, even though the interview process was great and all that. He was rejected in that, but then he was accepted in the one place that he expected. No way he'll be accepted. So yeah, that's for my case. You know, never expect anything from anyone. I never expect any high expectations from anything.
So I guess in a way you won't be disappointed.
Yes, because you will never be disappointed in anything. You know, as long as you your expectations are very low, then you'll always be satisfied with whatever comes in life, generally.
So I'm guessing your family is quite spiritual, quite religious.
Yes, my mom is very religious, actually. But she's also open. You know, my mom is very religious because she actually has PhD in Islamic studies.
Wow.
So, but she's not the... No. She will listen to you, you know, no matter where you come from, you know. That's my mom. Mm. Basically, you know, my dad is much more open, right. But he's very chilled out. But yeah,
have you discussed like spiritual questions with your parents, like I don't know, does God exist, something?
Yeah, I believe in it, 100%, 100%. You know, because my mom taught me this since I was a kid, and I fully believe in this. You know, like even though I'm not really the best Muslim, but. Like, as you know, I've never smoked or drank in my life. And these are one of the main reasons also, actually.
You've never smoked and drink?
And drank in my life.
Drink this alcohol?
Is, yes, alcohol in my
not
life.
Not water.
No, just not water, yes. Yeah. But one of the reasons is for that. But it's not my main reason, because I'm not, like I told you, I'm not the best Muslim, you know? But I fully believe in it. You know, I fully believe in God because I believe that even you're a spiritual person, you know, you believe that there's something, you know, and the body needs food and water to eat and drink to survive. But the spirit and the soul needs something to hold on to or to believe in a way, you know, to basically survive, because that's the food for the soul. And believing in something is food for the soul, basically.
Do you think, like, without religion, you'd be a total different person?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
100%.
How different would you be?
Oof. Not, man. How do I feel I would be?
Would you be honest?
I have no idea, but not... man, with my type of personality, there would be no limits. I would not give a fuck about anything, you know. There would be no back. There would be no reverse on the gears that I have on. You know, there would just be I'll just be on D and no neutral, because I'm a very electric and very vibrant person. You know, I don't like to stay. Since I was a kid, my mom was like, "You cannot sit in a chair." You know, now I'm much calmer, but. I'm still very electric.
Does
I have a lot of energy.
Did that come from somewhere? Or was your dad like that? Your mom like that? Or
man, I was always like this.
You were always like this.
I was born. Maybe this is like... I got this from my mom, I think. I believe. No way I got this from my dad. No way. This is nowhere near my dad. I got this more like from my mother, you know? But yeah. Because my mom's actually the more... adventurous one than my dad. By a lot. You know, my dad is the type of guy who would want to just stay at home and go to work and stay at home. That's his like happy place. Mm-hmm. Or go back to Algeria, that's his happy place. But my mom loves to go out and just want to explore, you know. She loves archaeology, she loves all these things, you know. She loves to travel. Just she doesn't like staying home, basically, you know.
Right.
So yeah, that's I got this from my mom, I believe.
She's an adventurous soul.
Very adventurous soul, yeah. Man. A very, very adventurous soul.
You were saying?
No, go ahead.
Have you ever thought of questioning? I'm not trying to make you think. Have you ever, because you're not Malaysian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're not Turkish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the fence. I feel like my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And Turkish people the Turkish youngsters.
Yes, the youngsters.
We are made from the same factory.
Yes.
But I was shoved in Malaysia.
Oh wow.
All my life I feel like I'm an outcast.
You're an outcast, okay.
Yeah. Even I feel normal. Like I'm the black sheep of the family. I feel like I've always questioned why is everything the way they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Religion is there. Why do I have to go to the mosque, for example?
Okay.
When I don't even understand what you're saying.
I see. I agree. You know? I agree. It shouldn't be that way.
I don't understand Arabic. And everything is in Arabic.
Yes, that's wrong. And I'm with you on that.
And like, I don't feel it, you know? Like I can think in English, I can think in Malay, I can think in other languages.
I agree with you.
And I can feel like, holy shit.
Fuck. Okay. Anyways, something fell off. What was that? Did you see it?
The metal, bro.
Oh, shit. It fell from the top or what?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we almost died.
Bro.
Special podcast.
Wow, we almost died.
Only in Milo TV.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing is what you're trying to say is that like you were put into like, oh, you have to believe in this, you have to go here, you have to read this, and you cannot question. If you question, you're not Muslim.
Especially
blah blah blah.
People in Malaysia, yes, right? They don't question at all.
They don't question because they're afraid of it, right?
It's either they're afraid or it's just not part of the concept.
Yes.
Questioning things is not part of the. It's not breathing. It's not eating. In Turkey, especially Izmir, when I was at, everyone was like me. So I find it like, damn, finally I feel like I belong somewhere.
I see.
But then in Turkey, it's a bit too extreme.
Yes, exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
No, they don't exist. God don't exist.
Yeah, that's too much. You know what I mean? I also believe that's too much. Yeah.
So the secularism is a bit on the other side where I'm still on the fence. I believe in God, I have connection with God, but I don't have the fear of God.
I'm seeing a lot of crazy things, you know, like, for example, like, okay, let me tell you this. So, hijab is a very common thing in Malaysia, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a common thing. It's very important. But a lot of times it's worn wrong because they believe that just cover the head and then you're fine, you know? A lot of times I was seeing in Malaysia, like, oh, wear a headscarf, but they wear like jeans or like skirts. Mm-hmm. So like that's not what hijab is, you know?
It's pointless. Right?
It's pointless. Like you're just forcing yourself to wear a hijab, but then I feel bad for you because you're like, clearly you look like, I don't know, either you're forced or you're just culturally wearing the hijab, but then you don't understand what you're wearing. Like, mm-hmm. It's fine. You want to take it off. That's fine. But wear it, like, in terms of, learn it, understand it. If it's for you, go ahead. If it's not for you, then God be with you. You know, it's fine. So I believe that, sadly, Malaysia, a lot of people there that were raised there, and there's so many people that read the Quran but don't understand it, like, mm-hmm. you said, you know. So a lot of times, I wish people could ask and learn. Because when you learn, and this should be in any case in life, you should never follow something that you have no idea what it's about, you know? And like you said, here they take it to the extreme, like, no, I'm a full-on atheist. You know, there's sadly a lot of people here that, which is fine, you know, that's their life, it's fine. A lot of them, like, they were Muslims, but then they're like, oh, no, I'm not that anymore, because I'm sure, like, they don't understand. They don't understand it. Like, a lot of times when I talk to... There was a friend of mine that I met in Fethiye, for example. Like, I asked him, like, oh, you're a Muslim, right? He's like, yeah, but I'm an atheist now. Like, and then if you ask him, like, oh, do you know... Like, did you know any Quran? He's like, no, I don't. Or, like a few words or, like, hadith. They don't know anything. And I cannot blame him, you know? He doesn't understand. That's totally fine for him, you know? So I believe you should learn. You should ask. You should always ask. Because if you don't, you'll doubt and you'll leave. You're like, no, fuck this. I don't want to believe in something that I don't understand. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
And I don't know. It's not my spot to question why is religion forced into someone. Because in a way, if you think about it, there's this saying that if you're born a Muslim, there's no other choices for you. You're in your passport.
Yes.
In your identity. Yeah. You're a Muslim, whether you like it or not.
Mm,
it's kind of like you're choking someone rather than
absolutely
nurturing
yeah.
them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like I think you cannot be Malay if you're not Muslim, right? I think that's in Malaysia.
No, it's
a rule.
Automatic.
Like, yeah, it's example, automatic. Yeah. Like they also put, they shove it in you. That, yeah, that's
yeah. Also
unfair.
The Turkish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, 99.8% of Turkish are Muslim on paper.
Ah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. On paper only. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's wrong. That shouldn't be the government's job to force someone's religion. Mm-hmm. That's not your job. Mm-hmm. This is why in Malaysia that's like kind of fucked up. Like, you shouldn't put someone's religion generally in a person's passport. That's unnecessary.
No, but I guess if there's too much freedom, I guess they have the fear that they can't contain.
Yes, they cannot contain. I agree with, yes, I understand. Like, I was, like, I had a conversation a few days ago, like, where they were asking, what would you rather have, safety or freedom? And I was like, safety. Because I believe that a country that's too free and too, like, just no limits, it's usually going to go out of control. You know, there is no control. I believe in a country that should have some control, you know. Then there's rules, there's some things that you need to follow, you know. But a place that has no control, you know, for example, like in Malaysia, and I know you know this, like the cops there, kind of pointless, you know. Like many times I was stopped, like I didn't have any license, or like I forgot my license at home, or whatever the case is. Like you can just pay the cop and you're free, you know. Pass him like 20 ringgits and you're good, you know. That's kind of the...
It's higher these days.
Yeah, that's... And like,
at least
okay.
100 note, bro.
Yeah, not anymore, man. Yeah. Bro, I swear, I had friends that gave out a chick at like a McDonald's, bro. They had like McDonald's.
Wow.
And bro, he gave him a burger and he let him go. I had many situations. I paid like 20, you know. I had a friend that gave him cigarettes and he let him go.
Yeah.
I swear, man. Like, it's becoming kind of desperate. And that's... Yeah. That shows weakness. That shows weakness to the country. That means you have no control over the people.
Yeah.
You know? You can talk all about it, but then you're not showing it. Then it's like, okay, yes, it's good for me. It's good for me, but then I will not care. You know, when I leave the house, I will not care if I have my license. I will not care if I do anything wrong. I won't give a single shit, you know? Because mm-hmm. then I know that, oh, okay, yeah, it's fine. I can just give this guy money and he'll let me go. That shows too much freedom. It's just then you have no limits to do whatever you want. You know, it can reach to the extreme case of you can kill someone and nothing's gonna happen to you. And that's showing in Mexico now, where a lot of the police are very corrupt. You know, the government, not just police, the government is very corrupt. And then the cartels, for example, are killing with no remorse, because they don't care they know nothing's gonna happen to them. And that's the result of too much freedom, extreme freedom. Understand what I'm telling you? So this is why I would rather choose safety. Mm. Safety has its... Yes, you cannot say some things, but fuck it, man. Okay, sure. Like, yes, I would rather be in a government that I can say, like, for example, like, fuck you to the president, but then... nothing happens to me. But then at the same time, I don't mind if that's not allowed, for example. I don't mind it. You know, that's safety. Like... The best question I was given was, what was the safest country? Okay. Yeah, the best question I was given was like, what was the safest country you've ever been?
Mm-hmm.
I always answered Saudi Arabia, to be honest. Whether, and a lot of people don't believe that. They're like, nah. Because why? Because they've been watching the media for so long that they believe in the media. And they believe what the media says about the Middle East. But then, man, I can be in Saudi and I can have my car, which is a great car. I can park it in front of the shop, keep the door totally wide open, no one's in the car, the key's in the ignition, the car is open. I can go inside the shop, buy whatever I want, I can go back out and the car is still there. It's not robbed, no one's going to rob my car. In Saudi Arabia, yeah. You know? So it's like, that's my case, you know? Now, sadly, now just Saudi is becoming more expensive, so it's like unlivable there right now. Like in total, like in the past, that's how it was for me, you know?
This is where I give you a break and flip the script.
Ooh.
And let you ask me anything. Give you a chance to ask me anything, any question that you have on top of your mind.
Ooh.
Go for it, one or two questions, man.
I didn't ask you this, so I would love to know. What's your favorite country till now? Is it Turkey? That you've been to? Because you've been around, so...
I would say Australia.
Wow. Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Why is that?
Because it's a mix of everything.
Wow.
Have you been to Australia?
No, but I would love to. It's one of my places.
It's like what you talked about, how you describe Malaysia.
Oh wow.
I'm surprised you describe that in Malaysia, because I felt that in Australia. Like wow. My hideaway spot, as in I want a retirement home in New Zealand.
Oh wow. Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Away from people.
Hear that a lot. Yeah. So many people tell me that.
Yeah. It's too isolated. Sometimes I need to go to Australia. Australia is where the Asians are, the Arabs are, the Turks are.
Yeah. Everyone.
Everyone is in one place. And the coffee, because I'm a coffee, like, connoisseur or coffee enthusiast.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. I didn't know this.
So I'm really deep into all these like fine specialty coffee. So Melbourne is like a mecca of coffee, you know.
Oh wow.
And yeah, you asked me that. Yeah, Australia, bro.
Mecca of coffee, yeah?
Yep.
Wow.
Melbourne.
Amazing.
You should go there someday, man. If you think
I need to, man.
If you think, bro, it's nowhere comparison to Turkey
then Australia, huh?
Like, Turkey is underrated because
that's true.
It's not advertised this way.
Yeah.
And
even though
when you see the people, the geography, the hospitality, it's like boom. It's like a
It's like a huge surprise to your face.
To your
face.
But
that's very true.
Australia,
yeah.
There's so much expectations, and it
exceeds.
It meets the expectations.
It meets, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
So that's why Turkey is like boom. But then to live in Turkey forever,
it's not a chance. I think
it's hard. It's hard because it's like you're giving away a piece of, like, I don't know. When you're old, you don't want to deal with the chaos anymore.
Yes. You
know? Turkey always has this chaotic energy
vibe.
Huh? Yeah. There's nowhere you can run from it. There's this spark of chaos that you can't run away from
in Turkey.
Yeah. You try. I mean, what you are experiencing, you are mostly experiencing tourist life. What you're going through right now.
Yes.
If you're diving deep into the Turkish culture, which revolves around Turkish youngsters.
Yeah.
Hearing them discussing politics, hearing them discussing music, hearing them discussing their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from what you have in mind right now.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I see.
What you have in mind is actually good. It's actually quite positive.
Wow.
But also, it will, like, sort of plateau, and it will fade away.
Yeah, it will change.
You know, if you stay longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the longer you stay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the answer. Australia.
Wow. So Australia is the place, huh?
It's the place, yeah.
You put many people have said this, you know, have talked about Australia in such an amazing
place. Safe place, bro. It's like okay, there's a fight on the street, there's a beggar trying to rob you.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. 1 minute, 60 seconds later, a cop would have arrived. 60 seconds.
Wow.
I don't know how. It's like it's so proper.
Wow.
You know,
wow,
it's like
the system is amazing.
Yeah.
The system is put in place properly.
And it's not easy for someone to go to Australia. Mm. You know that for a Turkish passport holder, it's almost impossible for you to go to Australia unless you have a solid reason.
Oh, wow.
Even
is that
for,
serious?
Yeah, even Damn. For tourism purposes, you need to have like a solid financial proof.
That you can.
You need
pay
to have
for,
like a backup flight ticket back.
I see. Oh wow. Oh, you it's no joke, huh?
Yeah.
What about for a Canadian? Is it like? Do you think?
Easy.
Oh, it's easy.
Canadian,
yeah? Okay.
Easy.
I see. That's good.
Like
that's
for
good.
Malaysian too, because we were colonized
by them. Yeah.
By British.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
yeah, by the Brits.
We are technically, you know what? In my opinion, Malaysia, if there was no corruption in Malaysia, Malaysia would have been a first world country.
That's so true. I said that so many times. Yeah, I believe you 100%, man.
Because like Singapore was once Malaya.
Yes, and Singapore now.
Singapore is like American, and USD is the same.
Yeah, they have an amazing economy.
Singapore is actually a first world country, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Even though it's a bit too expensive for me, it's not really my type. But I see what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You haven't told me. Well, what's your hobbies? What's your like other than video editing, which I know is one of them. Yeah. What other thing do you do? What's something you love to do?
I sing.
Oh, wow.
I make music.
Y'all Malaysians love your songs.
Yeah, I like making music, coffee, talking to people, like right now. I like to record it. Why I started this podcast was to document passionate souls conversation, to actually put it on tape.
Wow.
Throughout my journey these past 2 years, I have recorded and posted some of the travelers that I encountered with, including yourself right now.
Oh,
and
thank you, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's that. One more question for you, bro.
If you could
turn back time, if you could go back to your have a conversation with your 13-year-old self, and you could tell him, like, you could give away like a piece of advice to him.
Oh, I know this one. Okay, I would tell him, don't worry, you're gonna find all the friends that you're looking for, and it's not gonna be as bad as it is now. Cause at that time it was kind of bad, you know. And you'll be the guy that you're happy that you are now. Just hold on, do what you keep doing, and just wait. I'll tell him, wait, just wait up. You know, now you're going through a bad time, and also in 2 more years you're gonna go through some fucked up times, but it's fine. You'll learn that time heals everything. That's what I'll tell them.
Time heal all wounds, huh?
Time heal all wounds. Yeah. All every single one of them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's a good one, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you could have a cup of coffee and a conversation with any dead...
Oh, I know the answer to this one.
Any dead...
Yes.
Musician.
Musician?
From the past.
Fuck. Musician.
Who would it be, and what kind of conversation will you have with them?
I don't want to answer Tupac because it's so cliche. Linkin Park.
Chester.
Yeah. I'm like, man, why would you fucking kill yourself when you have 6 kids? To be honest, that's the only question I'd have for him. I'm like, that's the conversation. I'm like, why? You have kids. No matter how bad life is, don't kill yourself. You know, like, yes, you know, some people in life, I believe, like, yes, you know, things can get so bad, but no matter how bad it is, it should never reach to the point of you killing yourself. I don't believe in that, because, you know, I have a cousin that actually killed himself, a very close one of mine, and I don't agree with it, you know, at all. Because the aftermath of that is much worse than what the selfish act was. Because I believe it is a very selfish act, you know. It's always the aftermath is always much worse, you know, than the things that you went through. Because then now all the things that you went through are out of the window, and okay, now you killed yourself. So what now? Was that a smart thing to do? Was that a thing that you had to do to make your kids remember this and remember that look your whole life, and your wife and all that? But yeah, anyways, I think maybe Linkin Park. That's
why would you think someone would kill themselves though?
You know, they probably went through a very bad stage in life, but what I always answer back to that is that there is always someone much worse. Yes, your experience is different from that experience, but there is always someone going through much worse with a smile. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Much worse, you know. Like, I had a friend of mine. He's a very interesting person. I'll never forget this guy my whole life. He's same age as mine. He's 25 by now. This guy, he's a Libyan, okay? And a lot of Libyans know this. And if a Libyan hears this podcast for any reason, they would know this. So a friend of mine, he went through 3 wars in his lifetime. 3 different wars. And they're not like... wars by talk. No, they're wars by, like, as in weapons, and people, a lot of people died in these wars, and they're all in, like, in just 20 years, 3 different ones, you know. Mm-hmm. So he lost so many of his best friends, this guy that I know, and he even lost his right eye because of a tank shot, you know. And man, you speak to him, you will never guess that, never in life. Well, like, the first time I met this guy, I'm not even gonna lie to you, you know, I even told him this, that, like, man, the first time, I'm like, what the fuck, this guy, like, he looks like, what's the right word you can use? Like, I was like, man, this guy like I would say like a bit stupid, you know. I was very stupid. I was the one who was very stupid when I thought of that, you know, when I was thinking that way, like, oh, why is he so shy, you know, why is he so quiet? And because of this guy, he changed my life in so many ways and how to approach people because of him, thanks to him, you know. Like, oh, why is he so quiet? He's not asking, you know. He only asks me. But then I was so ignorant and so arrogant at the time that I was like, that this guy just wants to be a friend of mine. He just wants to be a good friend of mine. And because of this guy, I loved every single Libyan I ever met. And when I learned about him even later more, that this guy went through such a hard time and he never reached the stage of him thinking of even killing himself. Once he did have one case where he almost did it, but then he was saved, thank God, you know. He's someone saved his life, but he never reached that stage, you know. Now he learned later that was a very dumb thing that he almost did. So yeah, it's a very selfish act, sadly, you know. That's what I believe in.
Yeah
And you asked me, so I want the one coffee I would wish to have is with Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, with such an easy question,
right?
Because he's my favorite person ever. I even if you check my Instagram, I have his quote
right
on my Insta, you know.
So you also mentioned before that you are an amateur boxer.
Yeah, I'm an amateur boxer.
Was that inspired by him?
Very much. Yes. So, anyways, like for me, it's Muhammad Ali. I've always, because he's a man of the people. Never cared about fame. He literally sacrificed, genuinely sacrificed his freedom for other people's freedom. You know, he reached the stage of he did not accept to go to the Vietnam War because he's like, why would I fight for a country that never fought for me?
Mm-hmm.
Which was one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard him ever say. You know, especially in the Vietnam War, you know, he's like, these guys never called me the N-word. These guys never called me. They never hated me for my skin. Why would I go fight for a country that hates me for what I am? I'm not going to sacrifice my life for that. And then he was put in prison for that, you know? And he was stripped away of his titles, of his heavyweight titles. And he came out of that and he was back. And he was back as a boxer. And he was also a heavyweight champion again. You know, which was one of the greatest. I'll never forget it my whole life, you know? That's something I truly love.
Damn.
And I can talk about for ages, but
okay, to close out this podcast, bro, yes. I'd like to hear like what would be the greatest lesson you've learned from boxing so far for the past 3 years.
Oh, patience. Absolutely patience. Patience and dedication. I've never been more dedicated in my life to such a thing than I was in boxing. For example, so the competition I just had, the hard part, even though sadly I lost the competition, you know, by split decision, but that wasn't the hardest thing I had. The hardest part was me losing weight, the cutting weight part. Like, I had to lose 8 kgs in 7 days, which was, I've never in my life thought I would ever do such a thing, you know. Thanks to my coach, you know, really thanks to my coach and to the people I was surrounded with and the dedication I had. I never thought in my life that I'd ever be dedicated in such a thing, ever. Like, genuinely, I was in my life, I was mostly lazy to do things, you know. But boxing taught me this, and I will never, ever forget it my whole life.
It's a pleasure to have you on a podcast, yeah, and it was nice meeting you in Turkey.
Thank you very
especially
much.
Especially in Olympus.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to catch up again in Kadıköy, Istanbul.
Yeah, that's true.
The fact that you were in Malaysia, like... during those years of COVID is just I don't know how it feels like, you know.
Good thing you were here, I'll give you that. Good thing you were here. Yeah
From outside looking in, from the internet, from social media,
yeah man,
it seems quite depressing. It's like one of the darkest age
Malaysia's history. Yeah that's true, man. Like, now it's even worse. Like, I got out, to be honest, I got out at the right time. I left at the perfect time. You know, I was lucky, I'm not gonna lie. Because now it's very depressing there, yeah. It's very, very depressing, sadly, you know.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Right. Have you tried Milo, the chocolate drink?
Man, I was raised with that, bro. Oh, that's why when you told me your name. Thank you.
So, bro, hello, kopi ke Milo? Hello, kopi or Milo? Which one will you choose?
Milo, bro. Milo all day, man. I'm sorry. I'm gonna tell you this. I'm more of a hot chocolate guy than a coffee guy any day.
Oh, but I wish I can buy. I wish I can like get Milo. Like I can buy Milo and it'd be sent to me. I would be so I would be so happy about it.
Or there's a Malaysian shop in your European side.
Is there?
Yeah.
No way.
It's called Nur Muhammad.
They have Milo.
They have Milo, bro.
No way. Let's go there right now, man. I'm trying to go there right now, homie. What do you say? Oh my God, they have Milo.
It's been a while, huh?
Oh, it's been a while, man. I miss it. Yeah. It was till now. It's still my favorite hot chocolate ever. It's my favorite chocolate milk in a like a what do you call it? Like a cardboard bag. But yeah, it's still not number one for me.
Cheers, bro.
Yeah,
bro. Thanks so much for being part of the podcast, so much, bro.
Thank you. Actually, thank you. It was a pleasure to know you.
Podcast. Milo Fico.